Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Ravi Hutitsing is here. Ravi is a new friend. He's a cultural diplomat, folks. I've always wanted to be a cultural diplomat. That seemed like the coolest job in the world. He's an international corporate speaker, cross-cultural catalyst, the founder of Ravi Unite Schools. And he's trying to bring people together and get them to be peaceful with each other, not fight each other. And I'm all for that. I'm going to do whatever I can to help him. And I want to hear what he has to say about the young folks and how they're going to be dealing with the future. Ravi, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
Good to have you. And by the way, folks, Ravi joins us on one of his missions right now in Chile. Just outside of Santiago, Chile, and so he's joining us from a long way away. We're glad you're here, Ravi. I have been worried about whether baby boomers were going to have jobs in 10 years because, you know, we're not the digital natives, and there's still plenty of baby boomers who are going to be needing a job in 10 years. And then here you come in with a thought that millennials might have trouble getting a job in 10 years. Ravi, say it ain't so.
Well, you know, I don't know that millennials are going to have trouble getting a job in 10 years, but the reality is we have to make sure that we prepare them and Gen Z, really, who are the high school graduates. Let's remember
right.
that millennials already today are 35% of the workforce. They're the
right.
majority of the workforce.
They're already full up in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're the ones that are the largest stakeholders, you know, on the planet at this point.
84
and
million.
Their ability to get jobs, you know, is congruent to their ability to pivot. And pivot is what I always talk about. You know, we've got to be teaching our students to pivot. We need to teach ourselves how to pivot because, you know, the director of Lab on Aging at Harvard Medical School says the first person to live to 150 has already been born. So imagine how many times we have to reinvent ourselves in order to stay relevant. And that means now when I talk to educators about Gen Z, you know, the ones that are now in school, K through 12, and
my grandkids
going into college. Yeah, exactly. So that group, we've got to make sure that they're prepared to pivot multiple times in life because they're potentially going to have 100 years of productivity.
But what you're talking about, it seems to me what you're talking about at the essence of the ability to do what you're talking about is resilience. And I don't want to pick on them, but the research shows that millennials don't seem to be that resilient. What do you think? Am I wrong?
No, I think maybe not resilient may not be the word I would look at. You know,
okay.
One has to persevere. The criticism of millennials is that they don't stick around. They're not really loyal. But let's put that in perspective again. If they're going to live this elongated lifespan, it's going to take them a little longer to figure out what they want to do. It's going to take them later in life, you know, to invest in buying a home. It's going to take them longer to maybe get married and have children. They're living a longer lifespan, even though it's all going at a faster rate.
I don't think that's why they're not doing those things, though. I think you're right. I think that they'll look back on it like that. But I think looking forward, mm-hmm. I don't think that if they're thinking, well, I'm going to live to be 120 years old, I don't need to get married right now. I don't think that's what they're doing, Ravi.
I don't think they're articulating it or intellectualizing it. But this is a generation that is living in the now. It's not living with a vision for the future. Like
you're right. What they're doing, they're doing exactly what you're saying. They are doing that.
Right. Right. I think that's exactly what they're doing. I think that's why they're doing it in the scope of how we look at generations. It's
right.
certainly not a conscious thing that they're doing. But we have to realize, you know, the time that they were born, the environment that they were born in, where they saw their parents lose their pensions and they saw You know, they were told if you go to this preschool, you'll graduate Harvard and you'll have this job. So they went to the preschool. They went in debt to go to Harvard, and then the job wasn't there.
But you know, Robbie, we need one thing. I'd like to point out, because I have this perspective. My parents' generation saw things a whole lot tougher when they were coming up than the millennials did, or than I did. You and I both know
that,
the Depression, right? I mean,
yeah.
And their response to that was to save the world in World War II and build the greatest 50-year era of America after that.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't whine about what was going on and weren't late to adulting. They saved the world. So I guess what I'm getting at is I do wonder about the fortitude of our children. And I've raised them too. I've got two kids and four grandsons, and I do worry about the fortitude. And aren't we finding out that even with digital no matter how much digital or analog we have in our lives, you still have to face life? Am I wrong? What do you think?
No, absolutely. But I think life has also changed. I mean, you know, we are in this, you know, I think our whole economic system has changed, really. When you think about when the Internet came out in, the late 90s, and we became a peer-to-peer economy and a sharing economy, where, you know, today capital isn't financial, it's social, where power is not top-down in a pyramid form anymore, but it's more lateral in a network form. You know, your network is truly your net worth these days. So it's philosophically different. This isn't a generation that has this concept of climbing a vertical corporate ladder in the same way or fighting for things the same way. It's much more lateral, broad, multicultural, and global. And, you know, that just changes the perspective. But I would also say that, you know, maybe whining is one way to look at it, but they are, in their own way, revolutionaries, much like, you know, the baby boomers were during the Vietnam War. I mean, there's an idealism and a righteousness and a correctness and values that are actually pretty consistent from one generation to the other. Even though what we mostly focus on is our differences, the reality is when we were all, you know, 25 years old or 20 years old or 18 years old, we were all very similar in terms of our values.
Well, and those are important things. I do want to say one thing, and I always hasten to say this. I do believe that millennials are probably the best human beings we've ever raised. They have the highest values, the highest morals, I think, and they're the least pretentious of any of the generations that I've been around. And so I've employed a bunch of them. I know a lot of them, and you know the whole spectrum of them. And I've reported on this a lot on the show. We come back. We're going to talk about the future in the workplace of the jobs for millennials. What's it going to look like with Ravi Hootitsingh after the break? I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.